Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Heather from the Instagram account and blog Book Club Chat. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So happy to have you back on the show. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Thank you for having me back. I so appreciate it. I'm doing well. I'm feeling good about 2020 and all the new reads coming out. And yeah, so definitely excited. I feel like rejuvenated in a way. You know, it's kind of probably very stereotypical about a new year. You feel rejuvenated, but I do. I feel good about reading in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like 2020 is going to be a good reading year. I have a feeling for that. Mm-hmm.
Yep, definitely.
So let's talk about reading life. So you want to read more quality books or quantity. So when is hard to take this action?
Yeah, so I've been fortunate where, and you know, you're very much entrenched where you get the ARCs, which has been really awesome. And I felt that I kind of focused on the ARCs almost 100% in 2019. And they weren't always books that I normally would read. I did get new discoveries and I kind of opened up my genres a bit through it. So there's so much I appreciated it with it, but I felt that I was so consumed with, oh, I need to read all these in time for the pub date that I don't know. I just felt that I was reading almost too many and they weren't exactly what I always wanted to read. So I've just been a little more selective this year and also going back to the library and also doing book of the month and just kind of doing, I think all three will be really beneficial. And of course I do love the ARCs, but I just want to be a little like pickier about them going forward.
Yeah. So going back to the library, do you want to read more backlist or front list or what kind of books do you want to read more?
You know, it's funny because I do have such a big backlist, but I've been really excited about these new releases that have come out. So I think I'm probably a blend of both. I think there, you know, January is always a lot of books that come out and, there are kind of a lot of really, highly acclaimed books. So I feel that probably January I'll focus on some of those, but I still have plenty in my backlist. I still have the Bride Test that I want to read. Yeah, there's plenty that I still need to go to. Actually, some of my old Book of the Months I still need to read too. So I kind of made I did make a goal to not do any more Book of the Months until I finish every one of them. So when I finish the Bride Test, maybe I'll get another one, whichever month that'll be.
Oh my God. Yeah, I have not picked a book of the month, I think, since October. But mm-hmm. I actually have ARCs from Book of the Month, like picks. And I'm like, I should read those books, you know?
I don't that's funny.
Them, but I have ARCs of those books. And I was like, yeah, I should read them. So, but yeah, I think I need to be better about reading my Book of the Month picks.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is about them. You get excited to see them, and then it just kind of, okay, now that I own this, I'll shelve it for later. And then it's like a year later, like, oh, wait, yeah. Time to pick this up.
Yeah, I would say The Bright Cast, I read it as an ARC. It's a really good book. It's steamy. It has a great author's note based on her mother's life. So it was really touching. So I really enjoyed that book.
Oh, very nice.
Now let's talk about what's your ideal book. What type of plot characters you look for in a story for you to like?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I'm thinking about this, but I really like books that have a lot of depth in it, if that makes sense. So I like when characters feel a little more realistic. And, you know, just having, I guess, real problems and then you're following them on their journey and how they grow through all these different challenges and obstacles. I think I don't really like as much when it's a little too, I call it fluffy. And I do respect all these authors who have books published, but I think I have to have a little more meat to a book, but I also sometimes read too many of those and they get really intense. So I do appreciate a lighter read, but I always just like there's depth and the characters do feel a bit more realistic and not stereotypes.
So do you like when the character's life falls apart and then we just bring it back together? Or do you like the plot and have twists and turns? Which one do you like that?
Oh, that's job. I feel that I kind of go both directions. So I feel like I'm being indecisive about that. But yeah, I definitely, you know, I always like when there's really good character development. I feel that that's something I always seem to pinpoint whenever I think about when I'm writing a review. I always think, you know, how did the character grow throughout the entire story? And but of course, you know, plot driven stories are really, really of interest too. So yeah, this was a challenge. I felt like I'd go each way.
Yeah, it's understandable. I like, or personally, I like some character development, but I prefer plot-driven stories. I think that mm-hmm. just keeps me going. I like some character development, and when it comes to romance, that's when I like it. But I don't like it in the perfection. You know, it's like, when it's just a character, the whole story, I'm like, no, I want to know what's going to happen or something happened throughout the story.
That's a good point, for sure. Yeah.
Like, I think I can see in a romance because I know the ending is going to be happy ever after. So everything else, like, I'm expecting it as part of the journey, but I'd like the characters to do well. But in literary fiction, when there's, like, where I don't know what the ending is going to look like, or it may leave with an open-ended ending, and then I just get mad about that, so...
you want the complete to be a complete story. It's funny, I go back and forth on that. Like, sometimes I think it works where it's open-ended, and sometimes it's really frustrating. So I I'm slip being like diplomatic, but I get that for sure.
It'll push me to look for fan fiction. I'm like, I don't want to look for fan fiction, you know, or like come up with your own ending. And I'm like, no,
it's like, come on, I read this. It's like, what's happening? That's awesome.
It's just like the ending is, for me, is like, okay, so I read romance because I know the end is gonna be one way. It's okay.
Yeah.
So awesome. So you wrote a book.
I love it.
You wrote a book, which is an amazing accomplishment. So how did you go about writing this process?
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So I was very structured with it. I was living in Denver at the time where I really wrote the majority of it. And they have a group called the Lighthouse Writers Workshop. And it's where they have a bunch of writing teachers that have all of these different courses on writing a novel from the very beginning to people in the middle of it to fine tuning it at the end. And that really helped me figure out that for me, I needed the structure. So I wrote an outline, I wrote character bios, and I had the ending set of where the story was going to go. It has gone through a lot of iterations. I mean, I started this back in 2012. So, I mean, this has been a long time, and I've taken a lot of breaks. I've come close to giving up. I've completely revamped a lot of it, but I always kept that core structured. But there was just a lot that I felt it wasn't ready yet. A lot with technology. Social media is a big component in the book. And when I first started, it wasn't anything like it is now. So that's kind of so. I was very focused on structure for me. I know I read a lot of author interviews where people say they'll just go for the book and. You know, don't really have as much of a structure, but for me, I don't know. I think I'm kind of like an organized person. I have to know where it's going to go.
So tell us a little about what the book is about.
Yeah, so it's about the wife of a Dallas Cowboys football player. She finds out her husband cheats on her, and she decides to get some revenge. So she goes undercover for a TMZ-like sports website, and she exposes some untold scandals in sports. And I got the story idea because I'm actually a pretty big sports fan, mainly college football, because I went to Oklahoma, and it's just one of those schools where people really are into football. And my mom was also a big sports fan, so I kind of grew up with it and got into it as an adult. I didn't like it growing up, and now I like it. But I got real frustrated by some really bad behavior by athletes. I mean, again, this was back in 2012, but it was like the Tiger Woods scandal. There was a Brett Favre scandal. And I just thought, you know, all the women get kind of victimized in a way where they, or I guess more that they just get attacked. And it's like, well, what did the woman do wrong for these guys to, you know, act out of order? And I just thought it would be good to have a woman be able to kind of take control of the narrative. But of course, you know, while she does that, is she also kind of losing a bit of herself, you know, in her quest for revenge. So that's how I got it. So kind of random, but yeah, it's been in my head for a long time. So we'll see what happens with
it. That's awesome. I love it. I'm excited to read the book. I'm reading it. So
thank you. So much appreciated.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how you evolve, like what the next steps look like, you know, see everyone. I love seeing the process from an idea to like germinate it to an actual product and then to see it through the world. So this is a very exciting process.
Yeah, and I do have a sequel in mind, but I can't tell you until you finish the book, so I can't say anything. So I'm like real amped about the sequel, though. So anyway, but yeah, but thank you so much for asking. You know, writing is such a solitary experience where it's all kind of in your head and you're just working alone. So even just talking about it now just feels great. So thank you, Laura.
I love it. And so do you plan to write a sequel or have both books for Corey, or just going to see what it goes or what it comes along?
So I'm going to query, hopefully starting in February, and okay. I'm going to see where that goes. And I'm thinking while that process is happening that I might start doing the outline for the second one. Cause I do have the story in my head, how it's going to go and how it's going to end. So I thought, why not just do that one? And I've read so many times where authors say their first book, it didn't work out, but their second book did. So I'm kind of like, you know, if it's going to track that way, I might as well try. I don't know if it will, but if it is going to track that way, I might as well start working on the second one. So, while it's in my head. I guess in the winter, I'll try to kind of start getting that all together.
Yeah, I went into authors. I think Abby Jimenez, her second book was the first book that she wrote. So even though the Friend Zone came first, she wrote that second. So you never know. Like, you never know the process of, you know,
agent. Isn't that fun? That's so funny to me.
May pick you up and then say, you know, you have another book idea. I'm like, we like that better. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it's funny. It's one of those where I'm like, all right, I don't want to give up. I told you, I've almost come close. Where I'm like, this may not be for me. I don't know. This is a lot of work and it's hard. Don't really know anyone in the industry, but I'm going to keep trying. You know, why not?
Just keep trying. I think you do have a leg up because you've been involved with the book world for some time. So you do know other authors.
Thank you.
So you can actually ask them, like, you know, for suggestions, questions. I found out that it was really helpful. Like you do interview authors, but just even just asking them not personal questions, but questions about the writing process and questions about like the agents and all the different things that can help you kind of like know more about the industry.
Well, that's such a good idea. I haven't done that. That's a really good idea. I will do that. Thank you, Laura.
Just putting it out there.
No, it's such a good idea. I'm like, yeah, like, of course. Why did I think about that? But that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's because I've been doing this podcast for a couple of years. I think this year I start interviewing authors. And I was interested not just in the books that they were writing, but I was interested in the writing process. I was like, it's actually more interesting because then I get to see, you know, which authors are cancers, which authors are plotters, and you see it in the writing. After you ask them the question, you're like, oh yeah, I can totally see this. Like you were discovering this as you were coming along. You know, they were like, we have a retail outline. You know, so.
Oh, how funny. That's really cool.
Yeah, so this is exciting. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for seeing what 2020 is going to bring you. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm excited to see what it will bring you too.
Yeah. So you're a fan of women's fiction. So what books do you read this past year that we should pick up within the genre?
Yeah, so I loved The Unbreakables by Lisa Barr. I felt that it was really everything I wanted in women's fiction. Did you read that one?
No, I did not, actually. It's on my list to read this year.
Oh, I think you'll really like it. It's set in France. You know, it's a woman scorned that, it's funny, it's kind of goes with the theme of my book, but yeah, it's a woman scorned that kind of finds herself later. It's good. It's really good. So that one. You mentioned The Friend Zone. I feel like I was the last person on Bookstagram to read that. And I don't know why it took me so long. But I finally read that and loved it. It was so great. And so yeah, it was very touching. You know, I didn't expect that to be such a touching novel. It just kind of shows, you know, sometimes I feel like I go in these novels thinking it's going to go one way or the other or be this or that. And it's like, you know, they can be really unexpected. And I don't know if this is considered women's fiction because, you know, that name, as much as I love in that genre, sometimes it's confusing which ones go under. But I did just read Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid, and that one's fantastic. So, again, I don't know if that's really considered women's fiction, but regardless, people should read that one. And, you know, Reese just picked it for her book club, her January book club pick. So that one's really good. So another one that was very different than I expected, and but in a really, really good way. And there's actually a lot of humor in it, which, again, I didn't think there would be. So I just like when books are surprising like that. So, yeah, those are a couple that are definitely really good.
Yeah, I got Such a Funny Age as in my TBR because we used to pick it up. And I think I actually have an audio version of it, so I'm going to listen to it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's neat.
May try the audio. But I think it looks so awesome. Good. It's gotten great, great reviews. And people that I trust have loved it, so I think I'm going to read it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think you'll really like it. So, yeah, I'm excited. You need to read it because I'm going to talk about it because I haven't been able to talk about it. So I need to talk about it with someone. So you got to do it.
I will. So how about historical fiction? How about historical fiction? Which books should
you
pick up?
Yeah. So I haven't been reading a lot in historical fiction until very recently. So I just finished the 2020 book, Lady Clementine, by Marie Benedict. And it follows Winston Churchill's wife. And it was really interesting. I will say, to give a caveat, that it's very, very historical focused and very political focused. It's maybe not as much relationship focused. So I think that people who enjoy books about, you know, really into history and really into politics, especially during World War II, would really like it. I'm like a history dork, so for me, I'm all in. But I that's my only thing. if people like historical fiction more for kind of relationship in a different era, relationship focus in a different era, might not be a fit. But it's a very well researched, well written book. So yeah, so that one, I do like that one. It was good, but again, you know, more focused on the history portion. And then one of my favorites last year was The Beantown Girls by Jane Healy. It was just a really moving story set in World War II. And it was a really great friendship between the three women. And I feel that sometimes friendship isn't as much as the focus as it should be, or it's kind of more women are competitive with each other, or it's just all about, you know, relationship with, you know, like, you know, more relationship, whether it's like, you know, with a guy or with a woman. And so I like that it was more about the friendship. You know, I want to see more stories about that where women kind of lift each other up. So those are two that are good. And I have some more historical fiction I'm going to read this year. But yeah, I kind of toward the end of last year wasn't reading as many. So, you know, it's kind of funny how you kind of go through genres. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading more historical fiction this year.
Yeah, me too. I think I discovered historical romance this past year, and then just kind of like going back to the different eras, and I was like, you know, I actually like the genre. I like the fact that there's like different things coming up, there's a different setting, there's some history, and then there's like, there's some research to be done for those books that you probably wouldn't have to for contemporary.
Yeah, definitely.
Now let's get to the fun stuff. What are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
So I'm definitely really excited about American Dirt by Jeanine Cummings. I've been seeing that, and I'm sure you have too, all over Instagram, all over Twitter. Have you read that one, actually?
No, I have not. I actually have an audio for it.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah. I know Sarah really into this. I think she did the audio, and she really enjoyed it. So yeah, I'm excited to hear what you'll think about that. So that one I'm definitely excited about. And then In 5 Years by Rebecca. Is it, you know, is it Searle? Rebecca Searle, I think, is pronounced it. I've heard that one's really good. I love The Dinner List and her previous novel, and so I'm excited about that. And Emily Giffen's been one of my favorites from, like, I don't even remember, probably like post-college on. And I know she, I was like, when did I start reading that? A long time ago. And I know she has a new one coming out in 2020, I think in the summer. So I'm already just excited to read that one too.
I know. I'm excited to read that one too. She posted, she's still writing the book. And I'm like, when can you finish the book now?
Oh,
like,
is she? Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, that's funny. Oh yeah, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram. She's very political on Instagram, so just an FYI. She's great. She's totally great about it. But then somebody posted that it was in Goodreads, and there's a review already in Goodreads because people post pre reviews and whatnot. Her comment is, "I'm still writing the book. Why there's a review there?" And I was like, "Oh, gosh, you know, people post pre reviews, but."
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah, that is weird that Goodreads allows that though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With like being able to just post whatever you want. I'm trying to do more with Goodreads actually. I kind of ignored it last year, so I'm trying to actually be on it, on it more. Because you're on it, right? Yeah, I mean, I know we're connected. I see you on there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on it.
You on
there. I don't post reviews. I'm going to try to post reviews again there, just for the sake of posting them. But I use it for tracking the books that I'm reading. So that gives me like a sense of, like, here's how many books I read this year. So my Goodreads year was one of those things where I was like, actually, 2019 was not a good reading year. And that's when I realized I was like, oh, it's not a good reading year. Thanks to my Goodreads. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was definitely good for that. So I'm gonna try to incorporate it a little more. That'll be good.
That'll be good. So which short books did you read this past few months that you recommend?
So I read a couple of intense ones, actually. I kind of went all in with the intense ones. So I will say I do recommend this book, A Woman Is No Man by Ita Frum. It was very well done. Again, intense and hard to read at times, but I felt that it was an important read. Just got to be in the right mood for it. I had it since March and I didn't read it until November. So it's just one of those you got to be ready for. And then Ask Again Yes by Mary Beth Keane. It's a really thoughtful read and there's a lot of character decisions that you'll question, which, I felt I almost got frustrated with, but then I thought it's kind of true to life though. So it's one that sticks with you. And then I finally read Educated by Tara Westover. Finally read that. Again, these are all books that I was like, I gotta be in the mood for because they're intense, but they're all really well done and thought provoking and they stick with you. So, but those are some intense ones. So what about you, Laura? What books have you read lately that you recommend?
So books I would not recommend is You're Not Alone by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen. I read it. Mm-hmm. I actually was disappointed. So that was actually...
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like a mess.
That's good to know.
I was hoping to... I like The Wife Between Us and I like the Anonymous Girl. But but this one was just like... It's a group of girls who have a mystery. We're trying to frame this girl into a murder. And then there's twists and turns around it. And the girl's like investigating, like she's looming too. So just like, it was just like a mess. Like I was like, at the end, I was like, what did I just read? I was like, disappointed. Yeah. I was like,
bummer.
I was like, oh no, this is not good.
That genre, I don't know. I like it, but I don't like it sometimes because I feel the books are like crazy town sometimes and it's not like a good way and this makes no sense way, you know, it kind of sounds like that might be like that. I read The Anonymous Girl and I thought that was good. I didn't read their other one, the one everyone was really into.
I like the other one the best, except there's a twist in the end that was just like unnecessary. It was like, it was just like unnecessary. Yeah. You know, they'd add more twists just because they want to make it more thriller. You're like, that's unnecessary.
for sure. Well, yeah, that's good to know. So I do have the, was it You Are Not Alone? Yeah, I have the arc of that. So.
Yeah, just give it a try, see if you like it. You never know. Yeah. I personally was just like, I don't think it was that good. Another book that I did read that I enjoyed was Conviction, which was Reese's Pick for December. That was actually really good. That was like based on a true crime podcast. So the main character, her husband leaves her for another woman. And so instead of dealing with the fact that he just left her for another woman, she decides to listen to this podcast. And then it turns out that the person who they're true crime, they're investigating, she knows this person. So she, along with a special friend, they go into searching for like what happened to this man because he got killed. They travel all over. Like, she had a settlement, like her husband gave her like $10,000. She spent it all like 3 days, like doing like traveling from London to Scotland to Italy to France. Like, they're like searching around, they're trying to figure out the mystery. And she has a backstory, and so it's all connected together. And it was really good. Like, if you like podcasts, if you like true crime, like, this was a good true crime podcast that had, like, enough twists and turns that could just make it interesting. So
I do like really the true good. Crime. That sounds good.
Yeah, true crime podcasts. I have a thing for that. I'm like, you're not, you know, my favorite murderer or stuff like that. I'm like, I want to read books about that.
Yeah, no, me too. You know, it's funny. I actually, like, literally, like, thought about that the other day. I'm like, I kind of want to read books in, like, that area. So, yep, that's good to know. Got to put that on the TBR.
Did you read Are You Sleeping?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So, there's a show, Truth Be Told. It's now remarketed as Truth to Be Told. But originally, the name was Are You Sleeping? And it's about True Crime Podcast. Yeah. There's a show on Apple TV. So there's a show for it. It's based on a True Crime podcast about the family who were affected by the True Crime. So, the serial, like, Adnan Syed, you know, serial killer, like, serial, the podcast. And think about, like, the girl who died, the family of the girl who died, like, those who were affected by it. So that story follows that. So it follows the people who were affected by the murder. So it was really good.
That sounds good. Okay, I'm going to do that one, too. Awesome. Okay. Those are some good suggestions and also good to know about the other one. I'll let you know what I think when I read it.
Yeah. Just let me know what you think. It's just like, I think for me, like I realized one thing. In 2019, I tried to follow whatever was hyped up on Instagram. Like,
yes.
Seeing them over and over and over. And you're like, I want that arc. And me I want too. That arc. And then, I'll be disappointed. And I was like, and it
happened. Me too.
So many times, I was like, okay, like, you're not alone. Yeah, it's like the final straw. I was like, okay, like, I want to like it, but it's just not connecting. So I realized that for me, like, I have to click my recommendations from different places, not Instagram. Like, if I see the book, it's been marketed and polished and just been sure a while, you know, I have to look at the reviews with the greatest awe.
I got sucked into some as well, and I'm still trying to figure out my relationship with thrillers because they really haven't been my genre, and there's some that I do really like, but as I mentioned, where I had those arcs last year, I had like 4 thrillers in a row that they all seemed very similar, and I was like, it's not really my thing. But I think it has to be the right one. And I think it's like, I mean, these ones are hyped up on Instagram. You know, one reason I probably got this arc, I mean, it probably was why I got it. And then or why I asked for it, because I saw it all over Instagram. And then it's like, not so much for me. But yeah, it's kind of funny how that is. There's like a little bit of the popularity contest a little bit with books, where everyone's kind of all on it. It's like, oh, I want to read it too. And then not always what you want. Not always works out what you think.
Yeah, you just want to be part of the conversation, and then you realize it's like, oh, that conversation, I don't want to be part of it. I'm like,
it's hard to do like a thoughtful review on Instagram, like where I've kind of, not to like sidetrack to Instagram, but it's funny because like I'm like, oh, I want to do this well-written review. And then it's like, sometimes I do my reviews too long, and it could also be the photos aren't great either, because I don't spend as much time on photos as I think some people do, but photos aren't really my thing, but I'll be like, why did I spend all this time on it? And it got like 10 likes moving on, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm like, you know, it's not why I do this. It's to like, you know, have like a big Instagram following or anything. You just want to be able to share books and, be able to meet people like you. So that's where I kind of was like, I'm going to probably scale back a bit on Instagram and not be like throwing this huge long review because, everyone's scrolling. No one really has time to read this big review. So I feel like I'm trying to have a better relationship with it and be like, all right, it's better to have this quick hit and then move on.
I think it's just like a quick hit. It's like dopamine, the fact you're just like, just do, and you scroll, and you're just like, okay, I got it. I think don't do that well, even though that's what we want to share and that's what we're looking for. Instagram, like, it's like book stacks and, fun ways and pretty
things,
and like, but I want to know if you like this free picture of the book. And a lot of times, they may be biased because it's a free book, or they want to build a relationship with the publisher, so they want to say, how great the book is, when the reality is like they may not like the book.
I know that is like, that is so tricky too, because you do kind of wonder about that, especially ones that that seem to get all the books. So you kind of wonder about that, but it is tough because it's like you want to be respectful in reviews. Like I kind of had that last year where a couple of books I ended up not reviewing because I just didn't really know what to say about it. And then, I kind of thought, I think even if I don't like it, it would make sense to still do a review. I think you can do it in a respectful way without being, completely like, oh, I hated this. It was the worst book, and not tag the author. And, there are appropriate things to do, but I feel like in a way, sometimes it's against my nature to do that because I just want to be like more positive. But I think it's important because it's good to know what people like, because if someone just seems like they like everything, I mean, there's no way. So it's something I'm going to try to be more like, a little more critical eye with some of them. So going forward, it's hard.
It is hard. I think I went back to my old writing. So in 2016, 2017, before I became involved with this book world, like podcasts and Instagram and all those different things, I read a lot of books and I rated them most of the time 3 stars. And it was like, the book wasn't like, I liked the book, I read the book again, but it was just a 3-star. Like it was rarely that I would rate a book 5 stars. Like, and I had to go back, and I went back to my ratings since I started Instagram and podcasting and all those different things, and my ratings, because I was getting 3 books, I was getting them 4 stars, 5 stars, and I was like, why am I so generous when I should just go back to a 3-star, which meant that I liked the book. That's the whole point.
No, for sure, that's a good point. I mean, 3 stars isn't like oh, you hate it or anything. It's just kind of like, you felt like, yeah, I like it, it was good, but but it's like really hard to say something's going to be a 5-star. No, I know that I keep saying tricky, but it's tricky. Because, especially when you read so many books, I feel like it kind of gets to a point where unless it really blows you away, it's really hard to get something a 5-star. So that's something where I'm like, I do want to read more this year, but I also feel like I have to be careful because if I read too many in a row, it starts to get kind of, I definitely can't read a bunch of thrillers in a row. That's for sure. I'm going to do that again. But even general, like, I'm like, all right, I got to make sure and like space it out a bit and not be so consumed with trying to read too much. So it's a process.
I think it's a process. You just like, as you go along, you start to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and you start to realize like what books, you can read in a row, which ones you need a palate cleanser, which ones aren't cleansed, which ones aren't good, are easy to read, your philosophy.
Yeah, definitely.
So what books are on your TBR?
So I guess I keep going for these like more intense reads. I want to read this Tender Land by, William Kent Kruger, I believe is his last name. It's one I've been seeing a lot. I didn't get to it last year, so I'm on the library list for that. I do want to read the Ronan Pharaoh to Catch and Kill. I want to get that one in too. And then I think I mentioned it earlier, but The Bride Test. That's my last book of the month I haven't read, so I really want to get into that. I have kind of read more romance in 2019, which wasn't a genre I'd really had. I probably had read it, but I wasn't really maybe aware that I read it. If that makes sense, because sometimes women's fiction kind of blends into more romance. And I'm looking forward to reading more in that genre too, especially because like you're reading these intense ones, so you do kind of need these these well-crafted romances kind of go with that. Those are ones I'm looking forward to. So what's on your TBR?
So I think I'm going to read some historical romance. So we're going to read some Tessa Dare. And then I want to read the Virgin River series. It's a series on Netflix, and I want to read the books. There's about 20 of them. So Sarah, really, this has been raving about them. And I'm like, absolutely, I'm going to read those. I have a thing for series. I love, like, series, like, long series, like, 10 to 20 books, where
characters
are interconnected, and you kind of, like, build up from each other. So I'm looking forward to reading that series.
Awesome.
So Heather, where can we find you online?
So you can find me on Instagram at Book Club Chat. I have a website, bookclubchat.com. I'm also on Twitter at H Caliendo. It's kind of all kinds of tweets. Sometimes it's work, but I do mainly do books. So, and there might be some football on there too, but I'm telling you, it's mainly books. So people can follow me and not be in pain, hopefully, from sports. So yes, those are three main areas I'm at.
Thank you, Heather, for being in the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It was so much fun. I really appreciate it.
This is awesome. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please go to the review on iTunes. This is the best way to support this show. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.